From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 83, Rob Parker.
Welcome into the podcast. I'm your host, Rob Parker. What a great show we have for you today. Pull up a chair, get ready. We have Bip Roberts, the former Major League All-Star infielder and outfielder. He will break down the streaking Oakland A's. Also, Robert Ford, who is the lead radio announcer for the Houston Astros. That and much more. Let's go.
To lead off, it's getting robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
I don't know about you, but today is a special day on the Major League Baseball calendar because the White Sox are quote-unquote hosting the Yankees for a Field of Dreams game in Iowa. Dreyersville, Iowa? At an 8,000-seat stadium with rows of corn backing the outfield fence? I mean, it's in a cornfield. Are you kidding me? This is like, yes, Field of Dreams. This is unbelievable. They're flying these two teams in to play this game. It'll be broadcast on Fox in a small ballpark built in a cornfield. I mean, this is incredible. I just can't wait to see what this is like. And this is this is not easy. They got to rough it. They fly in, take a 2 or 3 hour bus trip to get into where the stadium is, and then play this game. And of course, get out. This is Field of Dreams was that hit movie that I loved in 1989, you know, and I remember, you know, the big build it and they will come. You remember that? Yeah. Build it and they will come. And they built this, field in the middle of a cornfield. So there it is. This will be very, very interesting to watch baseball, a major league game that counts in Iowa in the middle of a cornfield. I just can't wait. Is it cool to have popcorn while watching this or not?
Number two.
Say it isn't so. Are the Padres really going to move Fernando Tatis Jr. to center field? The all-star shortstop has never played in the outfield in his life, or at least I should say in the pros. But the Padres, you know, they're thinking about it. They're trying to save, you know, he's been injured, his shoulder, you know, maybe, not having him play shortstop, this will help him. Also, he has made a lot of errors of playing shortstop, mostly throwing the ball. But this is weird. You know, you don't do that often. We do remember the time that Robin Yount with the Milwaukee Brewers, do you remember that? Robin Yount was switched from shortstop to center field after 11 years. And yes, that was because of a shoulder injury as well. Ian Desmond also did it. It's been done before, but you just wonder about a guy who's the all-star shortstop, starting shortstop, now changing positions. If this can help him and keep him healthy, at least until he gets healthy, fully healthy again, I'm not going to be against it if that's the move. I'm not so sure I want him in center field forever, but this could help the Padres. And the Reds are on their heels for the wild card, so they need to keep winning and get him back in the lineup.
Number three.
I know base running is not in the analytics and people don't do it that much, but I'm sorry. Trey Turner, who's now the Dodgers' second baseman, is a speedster. And we've seen his speed, you know, since he joined the Dodgers from the Nationals in that trade with Max Scherzer. But did you see Tuesday night the pop-up slide he had at home plate? Might be the coolest slide I've ever seen. He looked like he was on ice. You got to go see this. Google it. Go to YouTube. You have to watch this slide. It is so cool. He scores a run in Philadelphia. But the way he gets in and pops right back up, it doesn't look real. It looks like he's on ice or something slick or whatever. It's an incredible slide. It might be the coolest slide in baseball history. Check it out.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
All right, now let's welcome in one of my favorite people, Bip Roberts, the former all-star outfielder, infielder, man, still carrying around that lifetime 294 batting average, and a baseball analyst for NBC Sports Bay Area. What's happening, Bip? How are you?
Man, I'm doing great, Rob. How you been, my brother?
Doing great, and I know that all-star year in 1992 very well, because you were on the Cincinnati Reds, and I covered that all-star game with you in San Diego. You remember it, right?
I do, man. We were right there in the clubhouse. We took a couple pictures together, man, and it was fun because I had you there with me, and I always felt like, you know, Cincy was with me that whole time, and we had a good time, man. I really appreciate you being there for me.
No doubt. That was a good time. I do remember those pictures as well. But let's talk about the team you covered, the Oakland A's. And they are streaking. You know, the Astros have hit some speed bumps. They're scuffling a little bit, but the A's are 8-2 in their last 10. And going into Wednesday night, they played the Indians in a game. But they're 8-2 in their last 10 coming into Wednesday. Why are they playing so well? What's going on with the A's?
Man, Rob, they got some newfound life and energy. You know, it's like Billy Bean and David Force went out and got Starlin Marte, Josh Harrison, Yan Gomes, and Chafin from the Cubs. And these guys have made an instant success. They made instant things happen. And all of a sudden, this team is exciting to watch. They have a way of winning now, and they can find different ways of winning other than the home run. They can now beat you with their legs, which is exciting baseball, something we haven't seen since probably the 90s.
I know. But it went out of style, right, Bip? Basically, the legs went out of style in baseball.
Yeah. When's the last time you've seen a pitch out? I haven't seen a pitch out in years.
Yep. That's a good
you
point.
You know, but Starlin Marte has been incredible. I mean, this guy, ever since he's been here, he's hitting about 600. But he finds ways to get on, use the whole field. He bunts. When he gets on, he steals bases, and he scores runs. And that to go with guys like Matt Olson, who's been here all year, and then you bring in Yan Gomes, and then you bring in Josh Harrison. And all of a sudden, you got a team that, you know, I know Houston's beat the A's, I think it's 6-4, something like that this year, pretty much on the A's. But right now, you're looking at a formidable team that can compete with the Astros.
And how about those trades? I mean, was that unlike the A's? You know, they've always done stuff on a shoestring budget and kind of, you know, doing stuff with the players they have. How surprised were you that they were very active and they went out and made moves?
Very, very, very surprised. The first trade when they got Chafin, I think it was Chafin, you know, you say, okay, he's in the bullpen. He can help because he's a lefty and he's got a nasty slider. And you're thinking, how did the Cubs give him up? But then you look up and the Cubs gave up everybody. So they gave up all the great players. And we got Chafin. Chafin has been tremendous. And then you got Starlin Marte. And you're like, how did you get Starlin Marte? You gave up Jesus Luzardo, who's going to be a great young pitcher. Lefty throws hard with great slider, too. But when Marte hit the ground, he took off running. And instantly, this team became a different team. And he's hitting in that second spot behind Mark Canna, and he's just been a great table setter. He's on base, whether he's still second, he'll turn around, he'll still third. But each time he's on base, he's running. And so you're like, wow, this is exciting. And then Josh Harrison and Yan Gomes come over from the Nationals. They got here a little later than Marte. Marte had already hit the ground running. And when they hit the ground, Yan Gomes hits a 3-run homer to help the A's win. Josh Harrison's moving from second to left field to third base. And he is just making play after play. He had his first home run the other day. He had a double yesterday. He's off to a great start. So you add these three guys who have different type of talent that we've seen with Oakland, and all of a sudden you have a nucleus that's totally different than what it was 3 weeks ago. And it's a team that now believes that they can compete. But not only compete, they believe they can win now.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Our guest is Bip Roberts, the former Major League All-Star and NBC Sports Bay Area baseball analyst. What about the pitching? Do the A's have enough pitching to make a playoff run?
You know, I'd say maybe 4 weeks ago, we were doubting the bullpen. You know, these guys that got out to a great start, and then all of a sudden they got that lull in there. But then you brought Chafin in, and all of a sudden he secured the bullpen. Now everybody's starting to pitch well. The starting pitching has just been outstanding. Manaea didn't pitch well his last outing, but he has been pitching well. He was also, I think he was a pitcher of the month there for a minute. And then you got these other guys who have just been great. Bassett was an all-star. He's been tremendous. You know, and then you look at, you know, Caprillion. Here's a young rookie kid who's got the heart of a lion and goes out and competes every night. And he missed the start, but then he came back the other day and he pitched six innings and he had a quality start. And you just look around and you go, okay, they have all the facets that if playing on the same page, they're going to be tough to beat. And I just think the pitching has been strong enough to carry these guys, which it had to be because the offense at one time was just anemic. I mean, their guys are hitting 200, 220, 230, and so you didn't have much of an offense. But I tell you, with the injection of these four guys in this trade, this is a totally different team. They believe they can win now.
Bip, they won the division last year in the shortened 60-game COVID season. But again, the problem with the A's is that they had an early playoff exit, right? People keep expecting them. Yeah. You know, they've won a lot of games, regular season games, over the last 4 or 5 years. They've been formidable, but it doesn't translate to the postseason. How important is it this year, you know, to A, win the division again because you don't want to get in a wild card, right, where you play one game and your season could be over, but B, make a run in the playoffs?
Yeah, and you're right. I think they had teams that were kind of one-dimensional. It was either home run or strikeout. And this year, you see now that Marte's here, Olsen, Lowry, Harrison, I mean, Andrus, these guys use the entire field. Yes, they can hit home runs. Olsen can still hit home runs, but he's been going the opposite way a lot. He's changed the way guys play him. That shift used to be imminent, but now they have to play him straight up. So now when you have five guys who understand how to stay inside the ball and use the entire ballpark, you have to play them straight up, which gives them opportunities now to hit the holes like normal. And so I just think that it's a totally different team with speed. The defense has been solid all year, so we're not really worried about that side of the ball. Pitching has been great all year. We were worried about the offensive side, which was, like I said, anemic. But all of a sudden, you got Lowry using the whole field. You got Marte using the whole field. You got Gomes who can hit the ball out the yard and use the entire field. And again, you got Marte and Harrison. These guys know how to play. They stay inside the ball, and they make solid contact. So it's a different team that we've seen. Earlier in the season, I would have said, yeah, you know, if they get to the wild card, they'd probably be in and out. But now that what I see, and now collectively six, seven guys in that lineup who stretch that lineup out and make the pitcher work, but now have an idea and approach to where they go up there and understand what they're trying to do, it's a different team. So I'd like to see how they do once they get in the playoffs. But I just believe that from what I'm seeing right now, that they'll be able to go a little farther than they did in the past.
All right. His name is Bip Roberts. Thanks for the insight, the former major leaguer and, of course, baseball analyst with NBC Sports Bay Area, my buddy, man. Thank you for joining us, my man. We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me. And you be safe and take care of yourself.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Central. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
With the first ever Major League Baseball game to be played in the state of Iowa this week, the Field of Dreams game between the Yankees and White Sox at the site of the Academy Award-nominated film in Dyersville, I feel it's appropriate to give the Hawkeye State some love. Did you know that even though this will be the first regular season game, there was an exhibition there back in 1942 between the White Sox and Cubs that drew a then-exhibition record 8,000 people to the small town of Fort Dodge? Six Hall of Famers call Iowa home, including legendary Cub Cap Anson, arguably the best player whose entire career spanned the 1800s, compiling over 3,400 hits and a career average of 334. It also includes the heater from Van Meter, Bob Feller, whose fastball is still talked about in legendary ways. He led the league in wins three straight years from 1939 to 1941, spent 3 years serving in the armed forces in World War II, then came back and led the league in wins two of the following three seasons for his Hall of Fame career ended in 1956. Here are a few Iowan superlatives. Most homers? Hal Trosky, 228. Most WAR, wins above replacement? That'd be Anson, 94.3, one of the highest marks of all time. Most stolen bases? Hall of Famer Fred Clark, 509. Most strikeouts? No surprise, Feller, 2,581. Highest pitcher WAR? Not Feller. Hall of Famer Red Faber, 67.7. Lowest ERA, that would be Tornado Jake Weimer for the Cubs at 223 mark in the early 1900s. Now, Tony Watson and Michael Wacha are the two most notable Iowans in the big leagues in 2021, but the Hawkeye State and its history will be on full display among the cornfields.
And what that ball is!
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
Or is it fair? And now, from MLBBro.com, here's J.R. Gamble.
J.R., the Mets were cruising along all season on the strength of their starting pitching, but the hitting was suspect, and most people outside of New York knew that team would eventually fall out of first place in the NL East. Is it foul or is it fair to say that at 2.5 games out of first place behind the Phillies and the Braves and no sign of help coming, that the Mets probably won't even make the playoffs?
Fair.
It's a fair ball.
It's been a great run for the Mets, led by the unlikely lit production of Marcus Stroman and Taijuan Walker, who have filled in like aces in the absence of Jacob DeGrom. But it wouldn't matter if this team had Maddux, Glavin, and Smoltz. The fact of the matter is, they can't hit. They had an opportunity to bring in Chris Bryant and instead went for the strikeout-prone Javi Baez. Let's be honest. Michael Conforto and Dominic Smith, they've been disappointments. And Lindor has been a disaster. He's had one of the worst first years in New York by a big-time free agent that I can remember. Every move they make has spelled disaster with this offense. Philly has a chance to do the playoff dance for the first time with Bryce Harper. I doubt they will relinquish that opportunity to this Mets lineup, who doesn't even have anyone who can hit as consistently as old man Andrew McCutchen. Atlanta was everyone's preseason pick to win that division, and even without superstars Acuna, who tore his right ACL in July, they have enough talent to overtake a division which, in all honesty, is one of the weakest in baseball. The Mets need a miracle or Barry Bonds in his prime, and neither is happening. This ship be sinking.
Turn money into more money.
Now it's time for Betting on the Bases with Dave Gascon.
Love that money. Love that money.
Rob, we're bouncing all the way around the diamond here. Last week, a little choppy, but I promise we will rebound today. Dodgers and Mets from Queens. I'm taking LA. Julio Urias, 13-3, ERA of 3.41. It seems like when LA goes outside the National League West, they don't have many problems. So I'm taking LA in that affair. San Francisco and Colorado. This is from the Bay Area. That's a nightcap. Doesn't seem like San Francisco wants to lose any time this season. They're the pace setter right now in the National League West. I'm taking the home team in that affair. And then from the American League side of things, I'm taking Tampa Bay at Minnesota. Rays right now in a dogfight in the American League East standings. It seems like everyone is chomping at the bit. You have the Yankees, you have the Red Sox, and the Toronto Blue Jays have caught fire as of late. I'm taking the road team in this one, Tampa at Minnesota. I'm taking the Rays.
Take out the papers in the trash.
Yeah. It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This week's Trash Talking winner is Ray Marcano, my buddy from Cincinnati. And he tweeted me this. The Boston Red Sox, as he wrote, They went from playing like Mariano Rivera to Cheetah Rivera. Oh, wow. That's right. They have been struggling. The Yankees are right on their heels. They have a chance of catching the Red Sox, who are in second place in the AL East. But if you want your tweet read on Inside the Parker next week, make sure you hit me up and trash anyone, anything in the world of baseball. Hit me up at Rob Parker FS1.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, now let's welcome into the podcast Robert Ford, the lead radio play-by-play man for the Houston Astros. Welcome to the podcast, Robert.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Yes, most definitely. And let's talk about those Astros. They have been struggling a little bit. I know they won on Wednesday 5-1 over the Rockies, but 4-6 in the last 10, and the A's are hovering. What's going on? I know the offense has been struggling somewhat.
Yeah, you know, the offense had been down a little bit, and, you know, Yuli Gurriel went on the injured list. That certainly didn't help. And also, you know, the starters weren't as consistent as they've been for much of the year, but played a lot better over their last three or four games. Had a pretty good series against Colorado, taking both games of that quick two-game set, and got good starting pitching in both of those games as well. So, you know, every team, obviously, over 162 games are going to have some lulls, but Astros seem like they're in pretty good shape right now.
Robert, also Carlos Correa was struggling. I know he was 2-for-5 on Wednesday. What's been the deal with him and what's happened?
Well, I think with Correa, you know, it really started before the All-Star break. He had an illness, and they put him on the COVID-19 IL. It turned out he didn't have COVID-19, but they had to do all the testing and everything. And so he came back after the break, and, you know, I think it took him a little bit to kind of get his strength back. And even before he was sick, the handful of games before that, he, you know, didn't look quite as sharp as we're used to seeing Carlos Correa looking. So I think it may just be a matter of him just, you know, getting back to 100%. And I think he's pretty close to that. But that's what I really think led to the slump that he had.
Let's talk about Dusty Baker, the manager. I think when he was first hired, people looked at him and thought of a stopgap measure, you know, after the cheating scandal with the Astros. And he led them to the playoffs last year. They were in first place in the AL West this year. Talk about the job Dusty's done in Houston.
Well, he was a real stabilizing force, particularly when you think about when he came aboard last year and, you know, the firestorm around the Astros after the illegal sign-stealing scandal. And really was a stabilizing force and someone who had instant credibility because of everything that he's done, the track record that he's had, the success he's had everywhere he's been with multiple teams. So I think that really helped. I think the other thing that's been key for Dusty is, you know, he kind of realized, hey, this team has a really good thing going. They have a really good culture. No need to rock the boat or try and change a bunch of things. Just kind of let these guys be themselves. And he's really done that. And I think that's a testament to him. Because, I mean, I think, you know, that's probably, you know, that can be, you know, getting rid of a little bit of your ego too, to come in and say, all right, I'm not going to come in here and try and do all these things differently. Let's just let things roll the way they've been rolling. And it's worked out well for Dusty and the Astros.
Our guest is Robert Ford, the lead play-by-play man for the Houston Astros, joining us here on Inside the Parker. Let's talk about, you brought up the pitching for Houston. When you lose Gerrit Cole, a free agency, and Justin Verlander to an injury, I mean, it's hard to stabilize that. Who's been the stabilizing force for the Astros?
Well, I think, you know, Lance McCullers Jr. certainly has pitched very well for the Astros. And, you know, his last outing wasn't all that great, but for the most part, he's been pitching very, very well. I think Luis Garcia has kind of surprised a lot of people. I don't think the Astros expected him to contribute as much as he has, but he's certainly been a stabilizing force in the rotation. And, you know, the Astros also had signed Jake Odorizzi during spring training, and kind of took a while for him to get going because he got a late start to camp and then he got hurt. You know, he pitched very well, 5 shutout innings the other day against Colorado, and seems like maybe he's getting back on track. And I think Jose Urquidy also, before he got hurt, he's, you know, they're hoping to have him back here maybe in a few weeks. He's another guy who they had an idea of what they had with Urquidy. He just hadn't, you know, been able to pitch over a full season. So I think they've been really pleased with what they've gotten from their starting pitching. And, you know, that's obviously, that's always the name of the game. And, you know, you want to go deep in the playoffs, you're going to need that.
No doubt about it. Last thing, Robert, obviously, you know, there were no fans in 2020. A lot of fans obviously mad at the Astros for the whole cheating scandal, and they've gotten their share of boos all across the country. There was the big one when they came to L.A. and the Dodgers felt like they had the World Series stolen from them. Is it dying down at all, like fans and the hostility towards the Astros and the booing as you go around MLB America?
No, not really. It's about the same. I mean, obviously, certain places, you know, it's going to be worse. Like you mentioned, L.A., New York, when they were there to play the Yankees, another team who feel like they were robbed by the Astros of appearing in the World Series. But I think that at this point for this ball club, it's become not much of a factor because they hear it everywhere they go. I mean, again, it's more intense in certain places as opposed to others. But I think at this point, it's just like just part of the crowd noise when they're on the road. And I'd imagine, you know, the Astros are about to go to Anaheim, not too far from L.A. I'm sure there are going to be some Dodgers fans there that are going to want to show the Astros how they feel about things. But, yeah, I think this group is used to it by now, and I don't think it really affects them very much.
All right. His name is Robert Ford, the Houston Astros lead radio broadcaster. And, Robert, we appreciate it. Thanks for joining the podcast.
All right. Thanks for having me on.
Batter up!
It's Jones in for Baseball. A fan's take on the game we love.
You're out!
Hello, everyone. This is Jones Whitner. I hope everybody's doing well. In my opinion, we are currently in my favorite part of the season. Every game is crucial and has serious implications on who will make it into the playoffs. As I look at the standings in the AL, the White Sox, Rays, Astros are in the playoffs with the A's, Red Sox, Blue Jays, and Yankees fighting for the wild card. Of the four teams I mentioned, I would say the Blue Jays have the easiest remaining schedule. Out of their remaining 18 games, they get the Tigers 6 times, both Nats and Orioles twice apiece. The Red Sox, who have been trending in the wrong direction, play 2 games versus the Orioles on Friday, Saturday. Then they head to the X to face the Yankees. That series is setting up to have monumental impact on the wild card standings. I mean, it wouldn't be right any other way, you feel me? Speaking of having to come to the Bronx, the A's last series of the season is at Yankee Stadium. I'm looking at that almost like an early playoff series because being so close to the end, in theory, it could potentially all come down to that final result. If I'm the Yankees, I could take solace in the fact that they get to at least play the teams in front of them in the standings. Being in the in that position, that's all you can really ask for because at least you get to have some control over your destiny as opposed to just hoping the teams above you lose. When you win, you get to have some influence on that situation. In the National League, as it stands today, we have the Brewers, Giants, and the NL East is still up for grabs. But right now, the Phillies are leading that division. Dodgers in the wild card game versus the Padres. And to be honest with you, I hope it stays like that because that's the matchup we've all been wanting to see since the offseason. However, I would prefer an actual series. I take what I can get. These teams have one more meeting, by the way, starting August 24th. With that being said, everybody mark your calendars, buckle up, because we're in for a wild ride to the finale.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA, and it isn't even close.
Reason number 1,541. Why baseball is better than the NBA and the NFL. It's because, you know, we talked earlier in the podcast about Field of Dreams, one of the all-time great baseball movies. Baseball has better movies. We know they're great football movies. We know that they're great boxing movies. I don't know if there's been that many great NBA or basketball movies. Yeah, maybe Hoosiers, right? Rocky, Brian Piccolo. Yeah, you know, there's some great movies out there, but baseball has a ton of them, including Field of Dreams, 42, Pride of the Yankees. I mean, there's just so many great baseball movies. Major League, a great comedy. The Bad News Bears, another comedy kids movie. There's just so many great movies. But my all-time favorite, nobody remembers this movie from 1973. Bang the Drum Slowly. Michael Moriarty and Robert De Niro, a young actor at that point. And it was about a star pitcher who had a friend who had Hodgkin's disease, was going to die. And he took Robert De Niro and made him his personal catcher. And he signed a new contract. And the only way he would sign a new contract is if the team kept De Niro as his catcher the entire time, whether he was sent down to the minor leagues, whether he was traded, no matter what happened. It's a heart-wrenching story. You should check it out. 1973, Bang the Drum Slowly. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.